الرحمن الرحيم حق الله الذي ليس لأبوية الاتباع ولا لأبوية الاتباع وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض الله ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والسلام على سيد البقاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية الفتون العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعضها من المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء. ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأحدها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم إن مثل عيسى عند الله كمثل آدم خلقه من تراب. وقال أيضا فمن حاجك فيه من بعد ما جاءك من العلم فقل تعالوا ندعو أبناءنا وأبناءكم ونساءنا ونساءكم وأنفسنا وأنفسكم ثم نبتهل فنجعل لعنة الله على الكاذبين. صلى الله
عليه وسلم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
تبريك to all of you on the occasion of Eid al-Mubahala as we are celebrating one of the biggest celebrations of the Islamic calendar, commemorating the victory of the Prophet and Islam over the Nasara of Najran on the 24th of Dhul-Hijjah. This is one of the incidents which are extremely high level of importance from various aspects, and as you know already that when the Holy Prophet had sent letters of invitation towards Islam in various parts, he had sent his messengers with the letters to different parts, different countries, and one of those areas was the area of Najran, which was the concentration of Nasara. And finally, these people decided to pay a visit to Medina to see the Holy Prophet. And when they came with all the gold that they were wearing and they said their salam to the Prophet didn't reply back to their salam. And find that this was very disturbing for them, to find that they came to talk to the Prophet of Islam, but the Prophet is not even ready to reply back to their salam or to even talk to them. They turned away and went back to Uthman and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was, because they knew these two people in the city of Medina, and to find out for some solution. And basically, these two people took them to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, because they knew that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam can tell the exact reason behind this. And Imam Ali alayhi salam said to them to take off the silk dress, the silk dresses and the gold that they are wearing, and then they should go to see the Prophet. They did the same, and that's how the Holy Prophet accepted them and replied back to their salah finally. This behavior of the Prophet, who is Rahmatan lil Alameen, itself gives a loud and clear message to all the believers how we are supposed to behave towards the people who are following this kind of policy in their life. And Prophet also made it clear that when they came for the first time, Shaitan was with them, and that's why I did not reply back to their salam. Continued arguments, discussion on the various questions that they presented to the Prophet, and finally they started to talk about Prophet Isa alayhi salam. And what's your opinion on him? And Prophet said, he is the servant of Allah. He is the servant and messenger of Allah. And they said, how can there be a son without the father? And that's where the Prophet recited the ayat which I recited in the beginning. From in Masala Isa in Allah, from Masala Adam, Kalafahu in Surah, from Makara Lalukun, Fayakun. So we learn in the light of this verse that the parable of Isa in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that of Adam, whom Allah created from soil and then said to him, be. And it became. When Allah discussed the subject of Prophet Adam, the Holy Quran says, "Inni khaliqun basharan min teen." So, in the light of that verse, we understand that Allah is informing that we are. I'm going to create a human from mud. And teen and mud is a composition of two things, water and soil. Whereas when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Prophet Isa, the word he used in the ayat is not teen, instead he uses the word turab, which is only the soil. Which our scholars say that in the case of, in the tafsir, that in the case of Prophet Adam and Hawa, salamullah alayhima, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them without a father and a mother both. So the word of deen has been used. In the case of Prophet Isa, Allah created him without a father, but not without a mother. So Allah is using the word Qur'an for his case. Now the argument continued. They did not accept the argument of the Prophet. The Prophet's argument was very clear that, in other words, if just because Isa didn't have a father, if this justifies that because he didn't have a father, so he is the son of God, then Prophet Adam didn't have a father and mother both. So of course it's not a justifiable reason for anybody to say just because he doesn't have a father, so he is the son of God. Allah can create whatever he wants, however he wants, isn't that right? So he doesn't stand in need of creating a father first, necessarily. He created a human being, actually two human beings, Adam and Hawa, without a father and a mother, already. So just because of the fact that Isa didn't have a father, it doesn't justify that he is the son of God. Then the argument continued. And in Islam, as we know, there is no room for jidal and mujadala and mira and jidal is condemned in Islam, and it's not jaiz for any person, even though you may be on haq. Utruk al jidal wa in kunta muhakkad. Although you may be on haq, but don't enter into an argument. What Islam says to us, when you are talking with somebody, you make your point with your dalil, and that's it. Now the other person accepts it, fine. Doesn't accept it, that's it. We're not here to continue to argue. Useless wastage of time and thought. This is not among the akhlaq of Islam. We just make our point with the dalil and that's it. Somebody accepts it, fine. Doesn't accept it, that's up to him. But we are not here to continue the argument for the sake of arguments, purposeless discussion, which is called jidal, and unnecessary and long arguments. This is basically condemned in Islam. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they continue to argue and argue with the Prophet, Prophet is not here to do jidal with anybody. So the ayat of Quran was revealed upon the Prophet, which I recited in the second place from an ad yatafihi in ba'di ma jaa from in al-ilm. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the light of this verse, we understand that Allah is making it very clear, whosoever debates with you after the ilm has arrived. So when they have learned what they were supposed to know, Prophet made his dalil about Isa, just because not having a father does not justify that he is the son of Allah. He made his dalil. You know, after having the ilm and knowledge, if they still continue to argue, we don't argue with people, we don't do the jidal. Now the next step is that, when we don't do the jidal, what's the next step? Okay, let's turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that right? And let's turn to Allah and let him decide. How does Allah decide? Allah's decision will be, whoever is lying will receive Allah's curse and la'nat. That's Allah's way of ending the matter, because we don't believe in jidal and arguments. You made your point with your dalil and evidence, the other party is not accepting it. Okay, let's ask Allah. He's there. Let's ask him who is right and who is wrong. The one who is wrong and the one who is lying will receive the la'nat from Allah. Decision will come automatically. So it was settled. Time was fixed, such and such time, such and such day, which was of course the 24th of Dhul Hijjah. They will come back again. And they came. Mubahala in Arabic, or Ibtihal, Al Bahl wal Buhl. In the Lughat, Kalimatul Bahl wal Buhl. Wal-Ibtihal. actually it means la'nat, but in the history, you know, it also, the word stands for du'a mutlaqan, in its absolute form, and or anything that you ask from somebody while insisting, you know, if you're insisting when asking something, this is called ittihad. With israr and samajat, this is called ittihad in Arabic. So basically, this is the solution that Prophet had provided to, let's seek the judgment from Allah. So he sends the la'nat on the one who is lying. Now, they were, you know, this guy was a smart person in the sense that he had some experience. So he said to his people, if he brings his Ahlul Bayt, that means his close family members, then we need to be afraid from doing the mubahala and sending the la'nat on the liars. But if he brings his ashab and companions, then we don't care about that. We will enter into the mubahala thing and sending the la'nat. So, and this is also mentioned by the, not only him, that means the priest, the chief priest of the of that of Najran, but also it is mentioned by the Mufassireen. See, Zamakhshari, this is one of the very famous Mufassireen of the Sunni brothers, he mentions in his tafsir that Prophet had brought his children and his family at the occasion of Mubahala, which is the sign that nobody brings, if when we are here to send the la'nat, what will happen when the la'nat arrives? We would die. So it's a matter of halakat and destruction. So in the matter of halakat and destruction, nobody wishes to bring his close family members in danger. You protect your family, you know, and you bring, you may try to bring other people, but protect your family members. Isn't that right? So, and also, he has mentioned in Zamakhshari, Allama Zamakhshari has mentioned in his tafsir that it was a tradition of Arabs that they used to bring their women in the battlefield. Women were brought in the battlefield. They used to accompany the men, the army, in the battlefield, and they used to encourage the men to fight. And one of the reasons why the women were brought into the battlefield as a tradition, because they wanted the men not to run away from the battlefield. Because now that they have their women there, if they run away and leave the battlefield, the enemy is going to take away their women. Isn't that right? So one of the protections, one of the guarantees that the army is not going to run away and vacate the battlefield, which is an insult of the army. And in Islam, it is considered to be a big sin. If in any battlefield of Haq against Fatil, a mu'min soldier runs away from the battlefield, he is considered to be fasiq and performing the greatest sin and insult of Islam. So, this is not permissible in Islam. Once you go to the battlefield of Haq against Batil, you cannot run away. You cannot insult the entire religion. So even the non-Muslim Arabs used to bring their women in the battlefield so that they can protect, they can keep their army in the battlefield from running away. So, also Zamakhshari says that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to him, I'm narrating Naqlul Qawl, his statement, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought the mention of women in front of the men is because of this reason. So, you know, in the ayat, he's talking about the ayat of Quran where Allah says, you know, نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ, so the children are brought first and then the women, وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ, and then after the nisa and women, Allah mentions and fusan, those of you who are on the level of the nafs of Rasul, somebody who is equal to Rasulullah in the status, nafs of Rasul. anfusana, yourselves. So Imam Ali al-Salam is equal to Rasulullah except the mansab of Nubuwwat and Risalat, which Imam Ali does not have, and that makes the Prophet superior. Other than the Nubuwwat and Risalat, Imam Ali al-Salam is, because he is Nafsul Rasul according to the ayat, he is exactly equal except for the Nubuwwat and Risalat. So Prophet came, and according to some narrations, Prophet was walking in the front, and then Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam behind him, and then Imam Ali alayhi salam after her. Some of the scholars have mentioned a different sequence. Imam Ali was walking in front of Rasulullah, and after that it was the Prophet, and after him it was Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam. So there are two different sequences mentioned in different narrations. And Imam Hussein was in the lap of the Prophet, and Imam Hassan was walking next to him. So that is the sequence which is mentioned in the riwayat. So Prophet came and sat just like we sit at the time of tashahhud in the prayers. And when this guy, this priest, Abu Harasa, he looked at the way the Prophet was sitting, he said that he's sitting like the Prophets used to sit. So, in other words, so he asked from his people, and who are these people that he has brought with him? And they told him that this is, Ali, his son-in-law, and this is Fatima, his daughter, and Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain, his grandchildren. So when he learned about that, he said, "We are not going to enter into Mubahala, into the cursing thing." And he started to walk away, and then his people stopped him. So basically, he came to the Holy Prophet, and he openly presented that we are ready to accept whatever terms and conditions you can put forward for the truce. So basically, they accepted those conditions that the Prophet had put, which are mentioned in the history in detail. And Prophet had said in his hadith that I swear to the God who has my life in his control that halakat got close to the people of Najran if they did mubahala with me. And all of them would have been converted into monkeys and pigs. And this whole valley would have been full of fire, Prophet said. And Allah would have devastated the people of Najran, rooted them out from their roots. That means there would be no remain at all remaining for that nation. And even even the birds sitting on the trees in their area would have been killed. Well, as a matter of fact, anybody who stays with the zalim at the time when the la'nat arrives will become part of the la'nat of Allah. So we are already told in Islam not to be there when the la'nat is arriving, to escape and to keep away from even from the places and locations where the la'nat of Allah arrives. And one of those places is where others are drinking khamr, alcohol. See? This is one of those places where the la'nat of Allah arrives. So we find it's narrated in Tafsir al-Kashaf, another very famous tafsir of the Sunni brothers, Jalaluddin al-Suyuti, in his Tafsir al-Kashaf says this narration from Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out and he was wearing his abba, his black woolen abba, and he had four people inside his abba. That means Prophet
had four of his family members inside his abba. And that's where the Prophet recited this ayat of Holy Quran on the day of Mubahala. Prophet recited, Aisha says that Prophet recited by keeping Imam Ali and Hazrat Fatima and Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein in his abba on the Yawm al-Mubahala. Prophet recited this ayat, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وآل محمد
ورجمه. We have we must understand that when the ayat of Quran says فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَذِينَ, this has a lot to learn. This verse of Holy Quran is one of the most clearest evidences over the azamat and greatness of Ahlul Bayt. First of all, our scholars say that the Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet did not say that نَدْعُوا أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ, we bring our children and your children, and we call our children and your children, and our women and your women, and our men, ourselves and yourselves. فَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَجْعَلْ لَعْنَتَهُ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. No. This is not what Allah said in the ayat, and this is not what the Prophet said. Then, so we bring our, you know, these family members, and then we seek dua from Allah. We seek from Allah to send His la'nat. No, this is not what the ayat says. What the ayat says, فَنَجْعَلْ. Yes, you know, so my teacher was saying this فَنَجْعَلْ, that means we are going to send the la'nat. This tense which is used, that we are going to send the la'nat on the liars, is the clear evidence that the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, all of them are mustajabu da'wah. Their dua is always mustajab and accepted by Allah, and whatever they want, whatever they wish, happens. So there is no need for them to seek from Allah, because Allah has already given them that status. So each one of the member of Ahlul Bayt already enjoys the status. They can send the la'nat themselves, la'nat of Allah themselves. So they say فَنَجْعَلْ, we are going to send. They didn't say فَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهِ, we will ask Allah. This is not what the Quran says. And second of all, the word al-kathibin, I have mentioned to you earlier in my speeches, the alif and lam, the definite article, has several meanings, 11 meanings in Arabic grammar, to put it precisely. And al, the word al in Arabic, the, has 11 meanings in Arabic grammar. And the meaning which is intended here from the word al-kathibin is what we call in the grammar as alif lam lil-ahad. Which means lil alif lam of ahad, means that their Prophet is talking about some specific liars. So this al-kathibin does not include every other liar on the earth. Everybody who lies on earth is not included in this ayat, in the word al-kathibin, because alif lam is not for istighraq, and it is not for jinns either, for jinsul kathibin. No, this alif lam, our scholars say, is alif lam al-ahad, which means that there are specific people intended in the niyat of Rasulullah. So he's talking about those of the liars with whom he is having the debate, whomsoever he is intending among the people or the person with whom he is having the debate. That's what I meant. So that's the second point. Third of all, it is important to remember that what the Christians were denying in front of the Prophet was his Risalat and the Tawheed. Isn't that right? Because they believe in Trinity, Taslis, and they didn't accept the Tawheed of Allah. nor did they accept the Risalat of Rasulullah. So the what was at stake was Tawheed and Risalat. So now, when the Prophet is directly encountering his opponent, Prophet is claiming to be the Rasul, they are not accepting him to be the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why the need to take Imam Ali? Imam Ali didn't even enter into the debate with them. Isn't that right? Why to take Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam? She didn't even enter into any debate with them. Why to take Imam Hassan? They never talked with them. Why to take Imam Hassan, Imam Hussain? He never talked with them. Prophet was the one who is talking. Isn't that right? Why take his family? Prophet himself would have entered into the debate and that would have been enough. He is also Ma'soom, of course. He is the Rasulullah. He is Khatam al-Mursaleen. Why didn't he, one person, takes the matter in his hands? Because Prophet himself is the Mudda'i, is the claimant who is claiming the Risalat, being the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's where our scholars say that there is no room for the Prophet to take the Ashab, because Ashab, with due respect to all the good ones of the Ashab, we certainly respect those of the Ashab who were adil and just and good doers. But we never respect those of the Ashab for whom Surah Al-Munafiqeen was revealed. Isn't that right? We have Surah Al-Munafiqeen in the Quran, which is a dalil, undeniable dalil, that some of the Ashab were munafiq. Otherwise, why Allah is revealing the Surah Al-Munafiqoon? So we are not here to respect those of the Ashab for whom the Surah Al-Munafiqoon is revealed. We respect those of the Ashab who were adil. So, but even the adil Ashab, there is no room to be brought at the time of Mubahala, because our scholars say that they have no dakhl, they have no role to play in the Risalat of Rasulullah. Ashab of the Prophet have no role in the Risalat of Rasulullah. They have no involvement in the Risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Risalat of Rasulullah is at stake, it makes sense for the Prophet to bring those of the personalities who have everything to do with his Risalat and who have dakhl in his Risalat, those who are involved in his claim of Risalat, and those who have those who have relation with the Risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So, if the claim of the Holy Prophet which is the claim of his Risalat, is only and only and only related to him, then he would not bring other people of his family to put in danger, because his claim has nothing to do with them. They have no role to play in that, in his claim, in his idda'a of Risalat. Isn't that right? So basically, that the idda'a and claim of Rasulullah is directly related to these personalities, and these personalities are the ones who have a role to play towards the Risalat of Rasulullah and have irtibat with the Risalat of Rasulullah. So, just like when the Prophet says that Husaynu minni wa ana min Husayn, which actually and similar statements is there for Imam Ali alayhi salam. Some have narrated Ali minni wa ana minho. Ali is from me and I'm from him. So it's basically they're all part of one Noor, and the entire Risalat of Rasulullah becomes and stays alive because of the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and because of the walayat of Imam Hassan, and because of the walayat of Imam Hussain. So it's because of these personalities that his Risalat survives and remains alive with the same power and force and strength. So they have everything to do with the Risalat of Rasulullah surviving on the earth. Even today, the Risalat of Rasulullah is a live issue. If it was a lie, Rishi, we would never say, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So it's a live issue up till this date and up till the Day of Judgment and even after the Day of Judgment. It's a current and live issue of humanity. So the Risalat of Rasulullah is surviving although the Prophet is not here amongst us. So there has to be one member of Ahlul Bayt present who is continuing the concept, the nur, the message of and the policies of the Risalat of Rasulullah with the same strength and force, the way he practiced. And that's how the Risalat is surviving, because of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salatu wassalam. As far as the objection goes, that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the plural tense in the ayat, Nisa'ana, whereas the mistaq of this plural tense is only one woman that was taken by the Prophet, not more than two, because in Arabic Jama, Siratul Jam, the plural tense is used for two plus, not for two. For two we have Siratul Tasniya, tense of Tasniya, which stands for two. So it has to be three as a minimum, two plus, three and three more, and more than three for us to be able to use the plural tense in Arabic. So there were no three women taken by the Prophet, he only took one. Likewise about Abna'ana, which is also a plural tense, whereas the Prophet only took two of his grandchildren, which were not his own children. They were his grandchildren, isn't that right? And in the place of Anfusana, also just like Nisa'ana, Prophet took one man with him, and that is Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is a matter of consensus narrated by the Sunni brothers and the Shias both, that these were the only people. I just told you the narration from Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha from Tafsir al-Kashaf, where she mentions that Prophet put the Aba over his four family members and recited the Ayat al-Tafsir. So this is not the, our scholars say, this is not the first time that Allah has used the plural tense at the place where the incident refers to one person. We have several instances in the Holy Quran where the incident related to one person only, but the tense which was used in the ayat was plural. It's not for the first time. Let's go to the Suratul Mujadala, verse number 2. الَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ مَا هُنَّ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. الَّذِينَ, I don't know the whole ayat, I won't read the whole this thing. But yeah, it's الَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ. Okay, that much I will say. I don't know what is ahead of that. So الَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ. So this ayat is talking about those people among you who do the zihar. Zihar is not permissible in Islam, that somebody comes and says to his wife, ظَهْرُكِ عَلَيَّ كَظَهْرِ أُمِّي. So this was a tradition, this is a wrong practice of some people, and if somebody says that kind of statement to his wife becomes haram on him unless he gives the kafara. After paying the kafara, then the wife becomes halal again. So this is the incident referring to one person in the time of Rasulullah who said that statement to his wife, and after that the ayat of Quran from Surah Al-Mujadala, verse number 2, was revealed, and that talks about in the plural tense, الَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ. There were no more than one person who was doing the zihar, and Allah is using the plural tense, الَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ. Allah didn't say الَّذِي يُظَاهِرُ مِنْكُمْ. Allah says الَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْكُمْ. That's the incident number 1. Also in Surah Al-Mujadala, the same surah, verse number 3, again uses the plural tense, وَالَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ ثُمَّ يَعُودُونَ. So again, verse number 3 of Surah Al-Mujadala also uses the plural tense. And then we have another incident taking place that is from Surah Ali Imran, verse number 18, that one guy in the time of the Prophet said that we are rich, we are aghniya, whereas Allah is faqir. So this kind of a stupid and insulting statement was made by this one person in the history, and the ayat of Quran was revealed from Surah Ali Imran, verse 18. لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ. Certainly Allah heard the statement of the one of those who said, those in the plural tense, the ayat says, لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا. Those people who said, which is a plural tense, although there was only one person who made the statement in the history, not three people. But Allah says, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَا. This is from Surah Ali Imran, verse 18. Incident number 2. Also, we have in the Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 219, where we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, يَسْأَلُونُكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلِ الْعَفْوَى. This is an incident also which relates to one person. One person basically came to the Holy Prophet and asked this question, that what are we supposed to do the infaq from? And what kind of things we are supposed to do the infaq from? What are we supposed to give? So he's asking, one person came and was asking the question, what are we supposed to give for the sake of Allah? And look at the ayat of Quran which says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ, the plural tense. The ayat doesn't say, يَسْأَلُكَ. The ayat says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ. That means people are asking you. People are not asking, it's only one person who was asking the Prophet. So this again is a constant tradition and a practice in the balaghat of the language, that the plural tense is used these types of occasions, which is not problematic in the Arabic language, and we have these few examples already in place. So the misdaq of Nisa'ana, if there was any other woman that was deserving to be falling in the category of that word, it would have been wajib on the Prophet to take that woman along with Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam. Isn't it right? Because she is also part of the misdaq of the ayat. And if there was any other man who can also fall in the category of anfusana, Prophet would love to take that man as well along with him, because he is also falling as the in the misdaq of that ayat. So, Prophet's sunnat itself is the dalil that there is nobody else who deserves to be called as Nafsul Rasul and deserves to enjoy that position. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واقتل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واقتل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين نصيم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين